Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear and see thy face. Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Soul.
righteousness. Why such disquiet and distress? Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So for the reading of God's holy word, let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read a portion of thy holy word, wherein thou dost declare that that first testament that is finished, and that thou hast made a new testament, and that death of the testator that has brought it into force, whereas all things are purged with blood, and they are cleansed therewith. Old, and we also with our children need to be purged by that blood, that thou hast shed upon that cursed tree, and we see no need for it by nature. Oh, we are so separated from these things. They have no place in our heart, but only the world has place, and all the things of time and sense. But oh, may thou make it different in this day, in this afternoon, that our hearts may be given new life. Oh Lord, something must take place between the cradle and the grave. Something must be known. Something must be felt in our life. Shall it be well with us as we are traveling each one to that never-ending eternity? And thou knowest that by nature we have no concern. Lord, we are dead in sins and in trespasses. And all that we can read in thy word does not draw us. There is nothing that makes us so concerned that we would seek after thee, that we would turn from our evil ways. The callings of this life harden our hearts, that we travel on with a conscience whereon we are stepping every time again, that it is speaking to us less and less. Lord, it is a work that must come from thee. It is a work that must come from above. Thou who art the Alpha, the beginning, oh, we ask of thee in this afternoon that thou would come to us and to our children and begin that work that we cannot begin, and to begin what we will never begin. That is, that we may become hungry and thirsty for the true and the living God. We have no desire for our Maker by nature. But Lord, thou art able in one moment to make such a change in our life. And thou art able to show to us that all this world is passing away. And thou art able to give us to feel it in our heart, that it may be a reality to us, and that we may begin to hasten for the sake of our life. Oh, what shall change us but thy Spirit? What shall renew us but thy own work? Lord, it is a dependence upon thee that each and every one of us who are born in sin, conceived in iniquity, would learn to seek thee for the first time or by renewal. Remember all thy children. Thou knowest each one. Thou hast called them by thy name. They are thine. Lord, thou knowest then also their condition, which can be in such darkness. But O thou who art the light, wilt thou give the shining of a little ray in the dark prison house? O may thou open to them thy word. And wilt thou give them to see something of the beauty of thy dear Son and all that he has accomplished in that mediatorial labors? Oh, that thou may give them to joy in thy own salvation who are afflicted and poor, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness and who cannot find that righteousness that shall be sufficient that they may stand without spot or wrinkle before thy judgment seat. Oh, that thou may open what thou hast done for thy church, and that it may also be applied unto them, and that they, as a wretched and as a miserable creature, may be given to see the blessed suitability in thy only begotten Son, and that he may indeed become precious, that he may become altogether lovely unto those who cannot save themselves. Lord, thou hast come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, they cannot find a way, and they do not know how to return. But wilt thou save them indeed, and wilt thou deliver them this day,
that they may be given to say, to speak something of thy own work and what thou hast done. Oh, then thy name will be glorified amongst us. And then thy people will rejoice when the afflicted and the poor ones are delivered. And when the needy and those that are in themselves fit to be cast away, when they may receive an undeserved blessing. But Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us that are rich and that are increased with goods, and that do take to ourselves something, even out of thy holy word, which does not belong to us, or that place ourselves within thy covenant. And Lord, then we are castaways. Oh, that thou may open then our eyes, that we may not deceive ourselves as we are going to that never-ending eternity. Oh, that we may not stand one day calling and expecting to enter in. Open unto us, only to hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. O Lord, keep us from that way, but oh, show us the reality and give to us the uprightness to examine our own hearts in before thy countenance, and that we may be given to know while we are still in a day of grace that we are lost and what we have done in our father Adam, that we might learn to cry out out of our deep need, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us, and that we may experience something of that blessed power of thy mediatorial work. Oh, send thy Spirit among us to work among us as thou alone can do. Look also upon the children and the young people. Lord, they are not too young, for there is none that is outside of thy power, of thy reach. Oh, may thou take them by heart and by hand in the days of their youth. And may it be evident that there are children in our midst who fear the Lord exceedingly, and who flee from the paths of sin, that need also to be forgiven, and that may cry to thee. O Lord, wilt thou increase the knowledge of self? Wilt thou give the further leadings to thy people? O that they may be led more and more into the blessed mysteries of the kingdom of God, and that they may be able also to instruct those who are in the beginning of the way. And may we also receive such instruction, even as one that must go before this people. Lord, oh, we need to be taught by thee, and we need to be instructed by thee, that we may instruct others. Oh, may thou come then, and wilt thou teach us and lead us and guide us into all thy truth. And wilt thou give that it may be profitable for this people. Be with all afflicted ones, those that are not able to be with us in this day, and that must be in their homes or in places that are they're cared for by others, those that are widows, widowers, or orphans, those that are that have sicknesses known to thee, and those that listen by church telephone. May thou be near to them also this day, and all that have special needs known to thee. Lord, wilt thou give a cry to thee in the midst of all trouble and affliction, and that thou may be known in the midst of us as the living God. Remember all those that rule us and reign over us. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left? Give them the fear of thy name in truth, and cause us to turn as a nation to thy laws and to thy testimonies once again. Keep away the devil. Oh, put his work to shame? Wilt thou remember all those that labor in thy kingdom? Wilt thou be with our mission and those that labor thereon? And the mission board also that hopes to meet in this week, wilt thou give traveling mercies unto each one of them? Also our own brother elder who must travel to that place. And wilt thou give them a good meeting? And may it be that the work which is done over the length and breadth of this world may be sanctified and blessed. Lord, could it please thee to send forth more laborers into thy vineyard? Then we may see that the announcement has gone forth once again from our own curatorium. Lord, all wilt thou give us to gather a place in our secret chamber for the need of our own denomination? Oh, could it please thee to bind that need upon the hearts of each and every one of us, and that thou would bind also that work upon the hearts of men who may truly be converted and called by thee. Oh, may thou thrust them forth, Lord, who have no strength and no ability in themselves, and may thou give that thy work may be made manifest, that it may be made evident, and that thou would send forth those of thy own choosing. Lord, leave us not as a denomination. Turn us from our world conformity, and work again, Lord. Oh, may it be that thy spirit may be seen and felt amongst us as a denomination, that thou, that it may be felt that thou dost not leave us all together, and that thou may bless us as thou hast blessed our fathers in times gone by, with knowledge of self and knowledge of thee. Remember us then, be with the school and all the principals, the teachers, and all that labor therein. May thou bless all that work, and give that our children may receive a blessing thereunder. Wilt thou be with us this afternoon? Lord, help us to bring thy word as we have received instruction from our forefathers. We also need that instruction within. Oh, give us then the lively exercise of the true saving faith. Oh, give that the souls of this flock may be bound upon our heart, that their need may burn within, that there may be those who may draw it forth from us, that thy spirit may be feelingly and believingly among us. Glorify thyself, forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 189, stanzas 1 through 4. Make haste, O God, to save, to help me, Lord, make haste. Ashamed, confounded, they shall be who would my life lay waste. We have one announcement. The Sarah Circle wishes to extend an invitation to everyone to attend their mission sale on Wednesday, March 7th, 2007, the Lord willing, starting at 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. at the Calvin Christian School. And the collection at the last song today is for the school. Psalter 189, stanzas 1 through 4. congregation, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the greatest comforts within the true Church of God. That is not because of that suffering in itself, that suffering in itself that was such an awful thing. The nature, the human nature, the true human nature of the Lord Jesus has recoiled from that suffering. And that the disciples themselves have greatly feared that suffering of the Lord Jesus. This shall not be unto thee, but it is. For what that suffering has brought forth within the Church of God to their own benefit. That is such a wonder for that people. Was that ever a wonder also unto us? Our fathers speak of that wonder in Lord's Day 15. Questions 37 through 39 that we wish to consider with you this afternoon. Lord's Day 15, questions 37, 38, and 39. Question 37. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? Answer, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. That so by his passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Question 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Answer, that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Question 39. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Answer, yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed of God. So far, our Lord's Day. The suffering of Christ. First, what it means that he suffered. Second, why he was condemned by a judge. And third, why he suffered the death of the cross. Suffering of Christ, according to these three questions. First, what it means that he suffered. Second, why he was condemned by a judge. And third, why he suffered the death of the cross. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? That is, congregation, a question that is so very relevant in the days that you and I live with our children. Why? Because there are so many errors concerning the meaning of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. Many understand this suffering of the Lord Jesus and receive it only as an example of self-denial. That is, an example that you and I are called to follow the Lord Jesus in within our life. There is certainly truth in this, but it is not the whole truth. Actually, it is missing the most important part. It is missing the comfort that the Lord comforts His true church with. And that is that whole idea of substitution. That is, that He, in that suffering, has stood actually and in reality in the judgment in the place of others. That is, as a substitute. And this is what is denied by so many in our days. But our instructors, they speak about that suffering, according to the Apostle Paul, as a propitiatory sacrifice. What do they say? That He might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation. To see the suffering of the Lord Jesus merely as an example to follow leaves you and I still with a great debt. And then also a debt that is so impossible for us to pay. Why? Because we remain then in a broken covenant. And without ability to pay the smallest part of our debt unto God. And therefore, to preach such a doctrine of the mere example of the Lord Jesus Christ is no comfort for mankind at all. The Scriptures speak about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a different way. That is, that He came to save. That He came to save that which was lost. That is the reason that He is called Jesus. That is the reason that He is called Savior. What does it mean when our instructors, they speak about freedom? Freedom. We know what it is to be free, but there are people, boys and girls, in the world who know what it is to be not free, to be under bondage, to be a slave. There were those in the times of the Bible that actually sold themselves as a slave to work for someone else because of their poverty. Then we read in the Bible of a redeemer. And what is a redeemer? He is one that could buy that people back and give them, pay a price that they may have their freedom once again. And thus the Bible is speaking also about the Lord Jesus. That it speaks about Him as a redeemer. That it speaks about Him as purchasing something. Purchasing what? Purchasing, buying back that freedom of His people that have sold themselves into the ways of sin. And now that purchase that was made by both the active and the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Well, that active obedience, that is nothing less than the perfect keeping of the whole law of God. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, which of you convinceth me of sin? That means there was not one person who could rightly, justly lay a single sin in thought, word, and deed to the charge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus it speaks about the complete, perfect fulfillment of the law of God. And that was so necessary. Why? Well, is not this what the Lord has commanded our first father? When he has made us in paradise, that the Lord has said in that covenant of works, do this and what? Thou shalt live. Thus it is obedience, obedience to that law of God, which is earning life in the sight of God. And now that covenant is broken. And now there is a new covenant. What covenant is that? It is the covenant of grace. And that covenant of grace, congregation, wonder of wonders, has not a single demand from the true church of God. If there were, it would be impossible to be saved. And yet that is full of demands for the Lord Jesus himself. It was a way of substitution for his people. That is as if that people had fulfilled everything that Christ has fulfilled themselves. And yet, when Christ had fulfilled that whole law of God, and when Christ had earned life for his whole church, it would not be enough. And why would it not be enough? Because man has brought upon himself something by his disobedience. Not only did he now have to earn life, but he also had to pay a debt. Because it is by his disobedience that he has brought upon himself death, that he has brought upon himself the curse. And thus, not only does life need to be earned for the church, but also that punishment which is due unto that church needs to be taken away. Thus, there are these two things. Nebuchadnezzar, when he made a command concerning that burning fiery furnace, did say unto those who were disobedient, we are going to play this music again. He was going to give to them a second chance. But this is impossible from the side of God. And therefore, not only does that life need to be earned, but now that punishment needs to be fulfilled. Thus we say two things. The active and the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus were so necessary. And it is in that active obedience that he has earned that life for his people, that he has brought in that everlasting righteousness. But it is by his passive obedience that he has taken away the punishment, that he has fulfilled what his people deserved to endure. His active obedience, that is, boys and girls, what he did in an active way, that is, to fulfill that law for a people who cannot fulfill the law. And then his passive obedience, that he was passive, that is what he allowed other people to do to him. And what was that? that he gave himself into the hand of the enemy, and that he did not resist the enemy, but he allowed the enemy to put him to death. And thus what we read in our creed, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified. And through those sufferings, paying what his church owed, what they had done amiss, and to take away from them their offense before God. Throughout history, there have been many errors concerning the sufferings of the Lord Jesus that was already actually in the early church. There were those that were called the Patre Passions. Patra meaning father, passion, suffering. That is, that they say that the Father, God the Father, suffered. And there was Marcion. He said that the Son of God suffered only in appearance. He only seemed to suffer. Sibelius. He said that the divine nature and the human nature of the Lord Jesus, they are not pure. He said that these were mixed together, and that the Godhead of the Lord Jesus was actually turned into a humanity. But the Lord Jesus is unchangeable. He is immortal. He is incorruptible. And the Godhead of Christ cannot suffer. He did not suffer in his divine nature, but he suffered only in his human nature. But now that human nature, what did that consist in? That consisted in the same thing that our human nature consists in. That is, in body and in soul. And so that suffering of Christ, not in his divine nature, no, but in his whole human nature, in his body and in his soul. Why? Because it is in both of these that church of God has brought guilt upon themselves. The Remonstrants taught that the Lord Jesus only suffered in the end of his life, but our fathers have taught very differently, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. Certainly, at the end of his life, there was a climax to the suffering of the Lord Jesus. And yet he has suffered throughout his life. Poverty, sickness, weakness, frailties of the body, just as if he were a sinner as you and I are, because all these are the results of our sin. Hatred, the scorn of his enemies, that they are calling him names, glutton, winebibber, friend of publican and sinners, that he is forsaken even by his own disciples whom he loved so dearly. And the Lord Jesus suffered also in another way, boys and girls. Maybe sometime you have to go in the hospital and you are then very afraid. Maybe afraid that you will have to suffer some pain in your body. Well, then you have much anxiety. You look up against this. So many times things happen to us in our life, and then we say afterwards, I am glad I did not know it beforehand. Because the suffering beforehand, that is often worse than the actual physical suffering that we may suffer sometimes in this life. And now the Lord Jesus, what did he know? He knew everything. He knew exactly to what he was traveling. He knew exactly what he had to suffer. Why? Because of his divinity. So in this way, the divinity of the Lord Jesus has increased the suffering of his humanity. All the time while he lived upon this earth. And not only so, but he lived in a world full of sin. Congregation, what a suffering that must have been for the Lord Jesus. God's true church is grieved to live in a world of sin. Sin within and sin without. But how much more must that have been for the Lord Jesus? Oh, if Lot, who was himself a sinner, vexed his righteous soul day by day with the wickedness of that city in which he lived, then how much more for that Holy One who came to live in this evil world? If David says, the rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law, then what must it have been for that holy Jesus to come in the midst of this sin-cursed earth? What a grief to his soul that was in itself in a sinless perfection to dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. Thus, all his life, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But it says, especially at the end of his life, the climax of his sufferings, who is able to fathom this? When as a sheep led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth, and he permitted the subtle, the evil dealings of the chief priests and the Pharisees to succeed, to come to fruition. Willingly bearing the wrath of God in the garden, so that the sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. And yet, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Opening not his mouth when his own familiar friend is lifting up his heel against him. Opening not his mouth when he is forsaken by all his disciples. When his enemy is mocking, spitting upon him, and casting all kinds of scorn, smiting him. Opening not his mouth when his own dear beloved Peter is cursing and swearing that he does not know him. Opening not his mouth when he has to carry his own cross. Opening not his mouth when he is to be nailed between two thieves. Opening not his mouth when he is mocked by those who are even crucified with him. And yet, what is that real climax of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is when he has to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is, that from not only those who had nailed him to that cross, not only those to whom he had come when he came unto his own and his own did not receive him. Not only his disciples who forsook him and fled, but even his own Father. That he had to endure the separation from that
felt presence and that felt favor of his Father. That is congregation. Death. Death is separation. When we die temporally, that is the separation of our body and our soul. Or when we have died spiritually, then we have been separated from our Maker. Or was that death, that separation, ever a burden to us? Or what was it that the Lord Jesus must experience? Then of that death, in that union that was so close, of that triune God, that it could never be separated. Oh, much closer than the union between our body and soul, which we fear with a terror to have separated the one from the other. The closest friends. And this death he has endured upon that tree. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Answer, that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. That is our second thought. Why condemned by a judge? Stephen was stoned by a mob. And there came several times a threat to the Lord Jesus that he would die in such a way. The Nazarenes, that they would throw him off of a cliff. And another time when they took stones up to throw them to stone the Lord Jesus Christ to death. But the Lord Jesus could not die as a martyr. The Lord Jesus could not die as an individual. And why not? Because the Lord Jesus must die as a substitute. The Lord Jesus must die as a representative, under whose condemnation, congregation, have you and I come? By whom are we condemned? Not by man. But we are condemned by God. Thus we lie under the wrath of God. We lie under the condemnation of God. We lie under a judicial sentence of death. If the Lord Jesus will indeed be a substitute, if the Lord Jesus will indeed die as a representative of his church, then he also must come under not just the condemnation of men when they would stone him to death, when they would throw him off a cliff. No, he must come under the condemnation of God. Even as you and I are condemned by him, he must come under his wrath to pay for the sin of his church. How only can this be made evident, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come under the wrath, under the condemnation of God. That is, that he would be sentenced by an official judge in a legal way. A judge in this world stands in a certain sense in the place of God. A judge in this world has an office that is ordained of God. A judge actually acts for God. For that reason, a judge is so accountable. For that reason, that is such a high office. And for that reason, then he ought to feel something of that truth that he has himself to appear before his Maker. When a judge judges a wicked man, he pronounces the sentence of God upon his wickedness. What did the Lord Jesus say to Pilate? He says, "You would not have this power unless it was given to you from above." That is where the power of a judge comes from, in a legal way. That is what a judge says and judges, that is in the stead of God. Now it is true that the judgment of Pilate that was full of wickedness, because what did Pilate do? He condemned a righteous man. And yet, it was official. It was official. And in that judgment that Pilate has judged of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God has given his judgment upon his Son. As if, as he that has borne all the sin of his church, he was condemned in a judicial manner. He was condemned under the process of the law. He had a trial. He had a sentence pronounced by a judge. In that trial, he was very often pronounced innocent. Over and over that he was declared innocent. Was heard from Judas, was heard from the wife of Pilate, was heard out of the mouth of Pilate. And yet he was condemned, that he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed here. Here lies that greatest comfort for that true people of the Lord, that Christ was condemned as an innocent one. Because what does that prove? What is that a testimony of? That he did not die for his own sin, but that he has died, congregation, for the sin of others. That he has died as a substitute. Upon this is the hope of salvation of that true church based. That he has stood there in that judgment place, in the stead of his church. Congregation, will you be able to stand in the judgment before God? Who will be able to give an answer to all the questions that that great judge is going to ask us in that last day? When that law of God is laid before us, young people, and when the Lord will ask us whether we have kept every jot and every tittle in thought, word, and deed of his holy law, who is going to be able to deny the accusations that are going to come against us in that day? Oh, how often do we consider that we must die and appear before the judgment seat of God?
when it is right, an earthly judge. Oh, he must sometimes feel great pity for those whom he must condemn. Oh, that he would wish, perhaps, that he would not have to do it. Yet, it is the law. And when it is right, oh, then he has to follow through. And if that is so for an earthly judge, how much more will it be for that great heavenly judge? Oh, there every one of us is going to receive our very due reward. How is it then that there will be some that will also be placed on the right hand? Because when we would all receive our due reward, then we all go to the same place. But how is it then that there will be some that are on that right hand? Will you be there, boys and girls? There will be a right hand and there will be a left hand. How is it some will stand on that right hand? It is only because the Lord Jesus Christ has stood as a substitute in that judgment. Or will that also be for us? Let us sing first. Psalter 427, 1, 5, and 6. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is He. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, exalt His majesty. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. The Psalter 427, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Answer, yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. The curse which lay upon me. Who feels that, congregation? Did you ever feel that? The curse that lay upon me. We live in a day that so many speak about the blessings of the Lord. But have we ever felt something of his curse? Was there ever a time in your life that you could not find any blessings in the Word of God? But that every time you opened the Word of God, there was nothing written in it but curses. Oh, there is a people who come to a time in their life that they see nothing in themselves but sin. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. And a people that see nothing in God but his displeasure. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. All the Lord does not begin by opening up the deliverance. But the Lord is beginning in the life of his people by opening up their wretchedness. Congregation, what form and what comeliness can we ever see in the cross of the Lord Jesus when we have never felt the curse? The cross is the answer of the Lord upon that curse. And by nature, we are born under that curse. That is, by our deep fall. Lying polluted in our own blood, cast out in the open field, and so we continue it in our life. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That is our state by nature. But have we ever felt what our state is? Did we ever receive an impression of that state? Did we ever grieve over that state? Were we ever weighed down by that state in this world? That is something different. Cursed. And what does that curse consist of? Men curse each other in this world. It means nothing. We can call the curse of God down upon one another. But Solomon says the curse causeless will not come. But sometimes there is reason for it. You know that too, right, boys and girls? Because one time the boys and girls mocked with God's servant and he cursed them, and the Lord heard it and he brought she-bears out of the wood. Thus there are times, and when men will lay that curse upon their own soul, then we can read in the Word of God that they are accountable for it. How much more when we are accursed of God? How can we escape the curse of God? And for this reason, the Lord Jesus has died, our instructors say, that death of the cross. Why? Because cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. That is now the manner that God the Father has seen fit to put his own Son to death. That has a purpose, that he may bear the curse that is lying upon his church. Bearing in his own body the sin of his church upon the tree, thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse that lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. Congregation, we can't even understand that in our mind. That is no comfort for those who have never felt that curse. But what a comfort that is for those who go bow down over this world, afflicted under that curse. Oh, when that pilgrim came under his great burden onto that cross, then what a relief did that pilgrim experience by one sight of that cross of Christ. When all the burden of that pilgrim that fell away, oh, what a relief is experienced by that true church that is laying under that burden of sin in the revelation of that cross unto their soul. All those that are so helpless from their own side to make it right with God, from whom they have separated themselves, receive a great deliverance by one sight of that cross. Oh, that is a cross that affords rest to the wearied soul that is laboring under that burden of sin. Oh, in that cross, they see the satisfaction of that righteous justice of God that they are not able to satisfy, and therefore they are accursed of God. Oh, in that cross, they may experience something of that blessed way open for the chiefest of sinners here in this world. Oh, it is by that cross that they may see something, that mercy and truth are met together, that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, it is in that cross that they may see, that they may return once again unto God, that the separation may be taken away, and that they may be reconciled to receive the favor of God again. Oh, congregation, may we ever see something. May we ever see something, the smallest part of that blessed cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what do we mean? By a vision? By a dream? No. But that the Lord may show it to us by a true saving faith. He did not show it to a Herod. He did not show it to a Pontius Pilate. He did not show it to all those who did nothing but mock. But he did not even show it to the Pharisees and the scribes. No, they never felt the curse. They were never bowed down under that curse. Oh, how is it so in our life? Is it still so in our life? And that we never consider that we have to stand before God and that we are accursed of him. Or is it something the Lord shows to good people? What need do they have for it? What need? Good people are not cursed. No bad people are cursed. Sinful people are cursed. And he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The whole do not need a physician, but those who are sick. No, he has shown it to sinners, and he shows it to those who come to know themselves as a sinner. He showed it to the publican, who did not dare to raise up his eyes unto heaven, but went down to his house justified. He showed it to that wicked thief, that mocker on the cross, that murderer. Oh, he saw something, congregation, so wondrous.
He saw something so precious in that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, he had never asked the Lord Jesus to remember him. But oh, that cross, to deliver him from that curse, that was his only hope and his only expectation. Did it ever become your expectation and your hope? Oh, what a rest, what a peace, and that it is afforded to that people. Our instructors, they say, freed from that severe judgment of God to which they were exposed. And what is now the greatest judgment that is weighing in the life of that people, that is separation. Separation from my Maker. Separation from my Creator. That is the judgment of death. That I have to be separated now, and that they fear that they have to be separated forever and forever from that God whom they have come to love. And now this is the assurance that he is giving unto his people in one sight of that blessed cross, that mediatorial labor for the sake of his church. Oh, by this they may see that a curse is taken away, and that anger of the Lord that is forever pacified, and that reconciliation that has been accomplished. And what does it mean? It means, congregation, no more separation. No more separation for time and for eternity, and so that people may look forward, that they may be forever with the Lord. Oh, congregation, that separation, does that ever weigh upon your soul? When you have to be separated, boys and girls, from your mother, from your father, whom you love. Oh, then sometimes, then you are homesick. Oh, do you understand that there is a people that cannot endure that separation from God? That is, congregation, the beginning. But that is the foundation of the work of God in the soul of his people. Is that your burden? Is that your cross? Is that your grief? Because there is a curse that is laying upon you. And when that curse is always laying there, and it is never taken away, then that separation that is forever and forever. But oh, there is a way. There is a way for the curse to be removed. Therefore he has gone, and not to be stoned, to be thrown off the cliff. No. Therefore he has gone to receive the sentence of the judge, to come under the condemnation of his Father, and to be placed upon that cursed tree, that he may take away the curse from his church, and that he may forever remove that awful separation between God and their soul. Oh, may the Lord bind it upon our heart, that we might seek in a day of grace, that it also may be fulfilled in our life. While he proffers peace and pardon, let us hear his voice today, lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. Amen. O Lord, lay it upon us. Oh, let us not go another week, Lord, in the world and in the ways of sin, but that separation may become our greatest burden. Oh, may this take away our sleep in the night. Oh, may this give turmoil in our soul, that thou may give a true seeking for that separation to be removed. Oh, there is an answer upon it. Thy dear Son upon a cursed tree. O Lord, apply it to us in mercy. Give thy people to see it again and to speak of it in a lively way. Oh, make jealous those who know nothing of those matters. Remember us further this day. Oh, give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help thy servants yet in the sister congregations. Give thy word in a rich measure by thy Spirit to be preached. And may thou give thy blessing unto the hearers. Remember us in the week to come, each one in our place in this life, in traveling and also in the homes. Wilt thou keep us from all sin and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our closing psalter is number 284, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 284.
Oh.
like flowers that grow in beauty, like tender grass that soon will disappear. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.